It is hard to imagine life before the internet. Those of us who remember using things like the Reader's Guide to Periodical Literature can remember how long it used to take to find key bits of information. Now we can find it in seconds on a handheld device. That's a real blessing, all that information. But now look again at your relationship to the internet, and it's useful to remember that what giveth also taketh. Information about you is collected as well as the information delivered to you. And you can manage, though, what the world knows about you, especially through social media. Today's guest explains how. Tyler Cohen Wood is the author of Catching the Catfishers: Disarm the Online Pretenders, Predators, and Perpetrators Who Are Out to Ruin Your Life. Tyler Cohen Wood works for the Defense Intelligence Agency within the Federal Department of Defense. Her work involves making decisions and recommendations about cyber policies and programs. In short, she knows a few things about computers and computer networks and their security. Tyler Cohen Wood, thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me.
Tyler, right off the bat, what is a catfisher? I know we hear different types of fishing terms, fishing with PH and catfisher. tell us what this one means.
So it's a term that started off, you know, based on a documentary, and then it became this MTV show that we know about people who date online and one person is lying to the other person. But now the term just really means someone who's lying to you in the online domain, whether it's something innocuous like adding a couple of inches to your height on a dating site, or whether it's something much more sinister like someone who is pretending to be someone that they're not to target your children, or someone who is trying to target you.
Someone who's
lying to you.
Yeah, somebody wants to be your best buddy, but their motives are not particularly pure.
Yes.
There is a disclaimer up front in the book. The views are your own and not those of the United States government, you're careful to point out.
Yes, very much so.
Okay. So this book is not obviously an insider's guide to the DOD, but it's really helped for us average computer users, it sounds like.
Very much so. It is the first book that actually teaches you and your children how to determine actual techniques you can use to determine if who you're talking to online is actually who they say they are, how to read deception in the online domain, how to manage your online identity, and how to protect your privacy, deal with bullying. So it's kind of a catch-all for an everyday person using social media.
This is something that comes naturally to you, I'm sure, through years of doing what you do for a living. But for the rest of us, I mean, there might be some people thinking, oh, boy, this is going to take a long time or anything. I mean, you have to be a little more careful, obviously. But once you begin to institute these procedures, it seems like it sort of becomes second nature.
And it does. It does. And it's not, it's by no means a technical book. The techniques are not technical. They're just very simple things that you can do very quickly to really protect yourself and your kids, and something very simple can make all the difference.
You provide your own cautionary tale right up front. This is a really interesting story. There was a coworker who was fine at work, but what happened on social media?
Well, it's very interesting how people just sort of change on social media, how they can. They can have completely different personas. And this was a person that, you know, I'd worked with. I'd known him for a really long time. We were very close. And people would come to me and tell me, you know, this person's got this other side to them. And sure enough, his social media persona, you know, he was a different person. He was very argumentative. He was kind of a bully. And I had never seen this. I'd known the guy for years. We were relatively good friends. And in 2 weeks, I saw this completely different side to this person's personality, and it was kind of one of those shocking, well, who is this person?
Did you make a final judgment about which was the real person, or whether it was the real person somewhere in between those two personas?
It was probably somewhere in between those two personas, but in the end, I realized it didn't really matter. I was kind of so turned off by this other personality because this guy was really an online bully and very argumentative that I just sort of started stepping back in my professional life. And that's something a lot of people don't realize, is they think they're just kind of posting one post at a time. But people, your friends, other people, recruiters, your colleagues, people are making a judgment, an assessment of who you are as a person based on your online identity in the exact same way as they would make an assessment based on you walking into a room, what you're wearing. And it's a snap judgment. And once they've made that perception, it's very hard to change that.
No second chance to make a first impression.
It's very difficult to do.
So, you know, the way you set this up, it kind of sounds like the old cartoon on the internet, no one knows you're a dog.
Yes. Yes, exactly. I love that cartoon. But you know what? It can be figured out that you're a dog. There's things, there's techniques, there's steps, and there's ways now where you can determine that that person is, or you get what I'm saying.
Yes, that you can figure. They leave enough clues that you can figure out that they may in fact be visiting the vet's office instead of the doctor's. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
How have you been using social media information in criminal cases, Tyler?
So before I was at the Defense Intelligence Agency, I worked for the Department of Defense Cybercrime Center, and then prior to that for NASA and IBM, and I did intrusion cases for digital forensics, but I also did major crimes cases. And those were the cases that involved the exploitation of children or fraud or all kinds of other things similar to that genre. And you know, social media is, it's used in those cases because it helps build a profile. You know, when you see something that happens in the news, one of the first things that you hear is, and they check that person's social media. So it is something that is used in law enforcement.
All right, much more to talk about. We'll hear more about the techniques of Tyler Cohen Wood and the things she offers us for our own good purposes in the book Catching the Catfishers. We'll come back to the Jefferson Exchange, talk more with Tyler, and take your phone calls and emails when we return to the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 10. Back on the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio's News and Information Service. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our guest today is Tyler Cohen Wood. She works for the Defense Intelligence Agency and knows a whole lot about computers and how they are used by people and how computer networks end up getting information about us that we can then make an attempt to regulate. That's a lot of what the book is about. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about this. You may have your own experiences with information that got out onto the internet about you and that you wish you had back or were able to successfully get back. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Our email address, jx@jeffnet.org. I might have overstated what you're able to offer in the book. Once it's on the internet, are you ever able to get it back, Tyler?
It's almost impossible. It's so incredibly hard because even if you have a search engine remove the link to the content, it's very hard to get the original content removed, and people could have downloaded it, and it's kind of like that shampoo commercial where you'd have to try to get that person and then that person and then that person to remove it. So it's extremely difficult. I wouldn't say impossible, but it's almost impossible.
Which is obviously one of the cautions. I mean, before you hit the button for like or before you click to post that comment, you really or the picture for that matter, you need to make sure that you're committed to this.
Absolutely. And you really need to think about what you're posting. You have to think, is this something that someday will hurt or embarrass my child? Because a lot of people also don't think about the fact that they are creating their children's identity as they're posting these things. And they're also giving away, you know, potentially their child's pattern of life. There's things that they could be posting that could give a predator or perhaps a future HR recruiter insight or negative things about that child. So you just have to be really careful, and you have to think about what you're posting before you post it.
We were talking about the ways in which you and other people who investigate criminal activity via the internet. Also, one of the things you're going to look at is the social media profile. What kinds of things as an investigator do you look for?
Well, I'm not an investigator anymore, and it's been about 5 years. So 5 years is kind of a long time.
In this world, it is.
And a lot of social media has changed. But there are things that you do want to look for. If it's someone has done something or, you know, committed a crime, you know, depending on the legalities, obviously there's laws that law enforcement has to follow depending on, you know, if it's state, local, federal, or, you know, what country you're in too. But there are certain things that are accessible with the proper documentation. You know, if someone Facebook or any of the social media companies, they keep extreme records on everything that you do, and they tell you this in their terms of service, such as the devices that you log in from, your location. The ISPs also can keep, you know, what IP address, all kinds of information on you. You would be very surprised at how good these social media companies are, or companies like Google are, at amassing amounts of data and really determining who a person is. And, you know, it's almost astounding how much information there is available and how easy it is to put together this pattern of life.
Now, the terms of service, the TOS, as you abbreviate it in the book, and I'm sure the rest of the world does too, this is something that I'm sure a lot of people don't read. In fact, I just ran across another one where it's like, do you agree to the terms of service? It was for signing up for online banking in this case. But that's a lot to read, and I'm sure a lot of people don't bother to take the time.
I don't think that, no, most people don't really bother to take the time. But I do recommend that it's something that you should do. You should at least skim through it. Something else that I highly recommend for people and for businesses, too, is when you download an application on your phone, whether it's your application or your child's application, you want to look at the permission settings for what permissions that application has into other areas of your phone and what else it has the ability to collect on you. And most of them will tell you in their terms of service, in the permission settings, they'll show you what they're doing. But I think a lot of people would be shocked to know that a lot of social media applications have access to the contact list on their phone, depending on if you're an Android or iPhone user. With Android's a little bit worse about this than iPhone is, but has access into your text messages, could have access to things that you store on your device, and has the ability to sell that to third parties. And I think some people would be quite shocked by that.
Well, I noticed that myself recently because working with a new phone, it was a choice of going to Facebook either through the browser on the phone or downloading the app. And you click the button. It says, sure, the app's free. And it says, okay, we need access to this, 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 and this. It is an Android phone. I said no. I just couldn't see, you know, giving access to the address book. I mean, this is my personal
stuff.
With
iPhone, you have more options. If you can actually turn that off, but with Android right now, it's kind of it's all or nothing. And you actually, that's a really smart point that you made. If you do go through the browser, you do have a lot more privacy settings. I actually have a video blog that I post weekly to my website, and I have two videos on there right now about this application permission creep phenomenon where I show you how to do it, and then I have another one that teaches you how to protect yourself from being tracked by social media sites, some things that you can do, and one of them is actually using the browser on your phone.
In some cases, though, I mean, are we being desensitized over time, do you think, that by saying, oh, okay, you know, once to one app, and then you say, oh, okay, to the next app, and then it just gets easier, each app that asks you for more information?
I think that that's the case, and I think for a lot of people that are using this for just personal use, a lot of people, if you were to ask them, they would say, I don't really care. You know, I would prefer to have the convenience. I would prefer, you know, if I'm using my Starbucks locator app, to know where that coffee place is. And I know they're collecting this information on me, and I just don't care. It makes my experience better. You know, it makes my Facebook experience better. So a lot of people have that mentality.
Let's talk about what you call the three major components of anybody's online identity. What are they?
So the three major components, you have your behavior, you have your communities, and then you have your identity. And those are, you know, those all kind of form sort of who other people see you as. And I think it's important, you know, because you've got this community, the friends that you keep with, you've got your behavior, so who you are. Oh, and then you have records too. And records is something that is sometimes outside of your control. And that's, you know, your public records, or, you know, a lot of people I think would be surprised to know that a lot of cities, states post traffic tickets online, you know, with your Social Security number.
Really? So, with the Social Security number?
Some of them do. or bankruptcy filings, or housing, if you purchase a house. There's a lot of information that is very easy for someone with ill intentions to attain on you.
I was surprised to see that it appears that credit ratings are fairly easy to get on people.
Credit ratings are fairly easy to get on people. Another kind of interesting fact is a lot of the credit card companies, mortgage lending companies, insurance companies are kind of getting into this social media game too, and they're judging whether or not to give you loans based on the friends that you keep. So if you're friends with people that, you know, default on payments or have bad credit, then that makes it appear as if maybe you have those issues too. It's that friends of a feather flock together concept from high school.
Well, that's one of the questions I wrote down as we were talking, was guilt by association, whether you are tarred with other people's sins, and it sounds like you are.
Absolutely, and it works the same way in the real physical world as it does in this also very real online world. You know, if you are hanging out with people that maybe, you know, are involved in criminal activity, the assumption may be made that you are also doing that too. And it's the exact same thing in this online world too.
Tyler Cohen Wood is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's a cyber and cybersecurity expert. Her book is Catching the Catfishers, Disarm the Online Predators and Perpetrators Who Are Out to Ruin Your Life. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about ways to manage your own information going to the Internet and how you can use it coming from the Internet. 800-838-3760 around the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782 by email jx@jeffnet.org. In the social media realm in particular, there is an early section in the book about legal rights. I mean, do we really have any when we volunteer so much information?
Well, that's just it. It depends, and the lawyers are kind of having a field day with, you know, what rights you have. And, you know, you don't... if you're self-disclosing this information to me, and again, I caveat this by saying I'm not a lawyer, it'd be the same thing if I walked into a room full of people and handed each one of them a photograph and then walked out. They can really do whatever they want to do with that photograph, and it's kind of the same thing in this online domain. So again, you have to be really careful about what you and your children post. Because the things you post today, we've all seen the news items about people who get into some big bad trouble over things that they've posted online.
Well, there's a great case in here. Lindsay Stone. Remind us who she was, is, and what she did.
So she was the woman who took a photograph of herself at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldiers with the middle finger, and she was promptly fired.
Wow. And has that case stood up upon, I have to assume she might have sued.
You know, I actually don't know how that case turned out. I do know that, I can say this, a lot of people make the misconception that they're protected from private employers and they have this right to free speech. But that's not necessarily true. Your private employer has the right to fire you for things that you do or say online. And a lot of companies also have have these social media clauses where you have to maintain this image online that fits in with what their company what their company is and what the company's image is.
So it sounds like the advice here is to make sure that if you're going to let it all hang out in private conversations with friends and not to put it out there essentially as your website on Facebook.
Exactly.
Do you think, have you scared a few people out of using Facebook entirely, Tyler?
I don't think so, although it was kind of funny because I go through these different personality types in my book that you don't want to fall into, and I did a lot of interviews for this book. I interviewed a lot of HR professionals. I also have a whole online dating chapter, so I interviewed a lot of online daters, and when I would show these different people, these different personality types, every single one of them immediately gets on their phone and starts looking at their social media saying, oh my gosh, I think I fit into one of those personality types. It's like, no, you don't. This is someone who's always going to fit into one of these personality types. But I don't think I've scared anyone from using social media because that's not the intention. The intention is to educate people so that they can make educated choices about what they do and what they say, because social media is one of the greatest tools that we have. We can do so much with this tool. We have instant access to experts and to things we didn't have before. So if you just manage it right and safely, you really have the whole world at your hands.
Now, once we got to this section of the book, I thought, well, what does Tyler Cohen Wood's Facebook page look like? And so, of course, I went there. I couldn't figure out why Horatio Caine is in your URL, but this is a real clampdown page. There's not much out there for the world to see.
Well, there's not. I mean, I do, because I'm also trying to publicize a book and then myself, so I do post a lot of public things. I'll post a lot of interviews, and then I also am an avid horseback rider. I show jump equestrian, so I have a lot of horse pictures and a lot of dog pictures too. But you know, it's the same thing with Twitter. You know, I'm careful with the persona that I project.
Let us take a call. We have Peter in Ashland on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Tyler Cohen Wood about her book Catching the Catfishers.
Hi, I'm not sure if you already addressed this or not. I just tuned in, but regarding little kids, I'm wondering if there's anything out there that's digestible for, you know, sort of 10 to 13-year-olds about all this stuff. I tend to not be savvy about it myself, and so I know my kids are smarter online than I am probably, but also much more deficient as far as the downsides.
Well, I think it's important that you sit with your kids, especially when you first give them their phone and they're starting to use the social media, and you know what applications they're using, and you have this conversation with them in the same way that you would talk to a young child about don't go talk to strangers, don't take candy from a stranger, the same types of things. And you want to explain to them that not everyone that they're going to be talking to online is necessarily who they say they are, and there are some bad people, and they have to be careful about the things that they say about themselves. And you know, I give you checklists in the book on some things that, you know, warning signs that you can teach your kid, and they're very digestible and very easy. They're written at a level that a child can understand, but you do want to have that conversation early, and you do want to know what they're doing and what applications they're using, and you want to get involved with that.
Thanks for the question, Peter. Appreciate that. And, you know, we've been talking largely about Facebook and social media, but, I mean, there's so many other places that people go online. I know we have a question here about online role-playing games like Second Life, if the information you put in there ends up getting used all over the place, too.
That certainly is highly possible, is that information that you would put up there. I mean, all of these different places that you post things, you know, go into this, creating this pattern of life on you. And, you know, it can be a good thing if you're trying to target a person. You know, maybe you have an interview and you want to do reconnaissance on the hiring manager so that you know, what questions to ask. But understand also they have that ability to do that on you too.
Do the police have any greater powers to access information than the average user, or is this still a search warranty kind of area? I know you're not a lawyer.
Yeah, I'm not a lawyer. It's still a search warranty kind of area. And again, you know, it's different in different countries. There's, I don't know if you're familiar with this right to, what is it called? The right to not exist that's going on in the EU right now.
In Europe, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and this is basically where in the EU it was just passed that if someone feels as if content that's posted online about them, it makes them look bad, they can petition to Google, not the original houser of the content, but just the search engine that links to the content, to have that link removed. And there's a lot of problems with this law. There's issues in that if that means Google is now the determiner of what is, you know, what is except what makes you look bad. It also, you know, they can remove it from all the EU Google sites, but if someone goes to a non-EU Google domain like google.com in the US, those searches are actually going to still exist. So that whole law, it's really interesting to see how that one's going to play out and how that's going to end up working.
A lot was said about that at the time. And does it affect Bing or Yahoo or any other search engine?
It has started to, yes. Okay. Bing is now also getting involved and starting to being forced to remove these things too.
Interesting. So it's the search engines that have to do the scrubbing, not the original sites.
Isn't that strange?
It is rather strange. We're talking to Tyler Cohen Wood about her book, Catching the Catfishers. We'll resume our discussion about cybersecurity and how to make your own online persona safe and how to keep people from getting stuff about you that you don't want them to know online. Join us on the Jefferson Exchange by phone or by email when we come back from a break. Back on the Jefferson Exchange in a minute 20. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. We're talking today about keeping your online activity safe in the sense of making sure that the world doesn't learn more about you than you really would like the world to know and what sorts of information you can likewise gather about other people on the internet. The book is called Catching the Catfishers. It's written by Tyler Cohen Wood, who's a cyber expert working for the Defense Intelligence Agency within the Department of Defense. She is clear that she's not writing this as a representative of the U.S. government, but by as herself. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about things to do online and things not to do. There's a lot of those. Join us at 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. There's an email here, Tyler, from Boyd in Wolf Creek. He says, while the internet is irresistible, those who choose can limit its use to libraries and other points of public access with no personal identification divulged. Does that work? I mean, if those are the only places you use computers and the internet, is that going to work?
Well, it depends. Are you using those devices to log into your social media? Because, you know, you have to also understand the social media companies, and they tell you they're doing this again, as does Google. They're collecting, you know, massive amounts of information on you, such as, you know, your location, who your friends are, the things that you're posting. So if you're logging into an account, someone is actually able to track that stuff. And also, there's certain, you have a little bit more privacy if you're going to a library, or there's other things you can do, you know, like use proxy servers. But it's very hard to make yourself invisible. And I actually did the forensics on a lot of cases where a lot of people thought that they were invisible, but there's always going to be clues. There's always things that are going to be left behind.
These are people who are trying to disappear or trying not
These are people who are trying to disappear or trying to make it appear as if they did not commit a crime that they committed, such as downloading child pornography or, you know, being involved in fraudulent activities.
One of the things I noticed about the book, Tyler, is there's a couple of places where there are sidebars indicating that as of the writing of the book, these were the privacy and security rules that Facebook used. Do those change often enough that they require fairly frequent revision in our attention, but second of all, in what you have to include in your discussions?
They do change frequently, and they change frequently enough that I do warn people, you know, you are not necessarily protected by privacy settings. So If you're posting something and you think, well, just my friends can see this, that is not necessarily true because those privacy settings can change. You know, at the time I wrote the book, you know, you were not able to look at a timeline. Facebook made some changes to where now anyone was able to view that stuff. And then, you know, it's changed back. So there's been revisions and changes since. And sometimes they don't have to tell you if there have been some of these simple changes or if there's, you know, studies or things that they're doing. And that's in the terms of service, too.
Oh, really? So the original terms of service that you clicked on and said, yes, I agree, also said things like, we may change this at any time?
Yes.
All right, let's go to...
Almost all of them do.
All right, good warning there. Let's go to Jim in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Tyler Cohen Wood.
Hey, Tyler and Jeffrey, thank you for this conversation. We had the Ashland local police talk about this with my wife and myself, and I'm pretty freaked out about the whole thing because I have a 14-year-old daughter, And even though I don't think she would purposely engage herself in any kind of activity that wouldn't be great, I'm really a lot of fear that she's going to get somehow traced and tracked. And, you know, it's not like an active fear, but it's more of a passive one. It's always kind of niggling at the back of my head. So I wanted to ask a question. I have an Android, and I was just looking at terms and services of some of the applications that came with the Android, and it said it could read all of my text messages. It could read all my photos. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, like, okay, so let's say she has an iPhone. How much more secure is an iPhone than an Android? You mentioned a little bit about that, but I'd like to hear a little bit more, if you would, please.
All right, thanks, Jim.
Well, the iPhone is a little bit more secure in that it sandboxes off things like text messages. A lot of these applications will still request access to things, but they will tell you they're doing it. Like, for example, I have a mapping program on my iPhone, and I get lost crossing a street, so I have to use this thing all the time. And one of the things it says in the permissions, and it requested, it wants access to my contact list. Now, I can actually choose on the iPhone to turn that off, and I can still use the mapping application. So you have more control with the iPhone than you do with the Android device.
Yeah, what little I've done so far with my Droid phone is figure out so far anyway that it seems like you either take what they're offering you with the caveat that they're going to look at those things, or you just don't get it. Certainly with the Facebook app for Android.
Yes.
All right, so the iPhone a little bit different there. We have an email from Pat in Eureka who writes, Own Your Own Space, or Own Your Space by Linda McCarthy, is an excellent resource for parents like the dad who called in earlier to use with their kids. It's recommended by Facebook and Microsoft. Are you familiar with that work, Own Your Space by Linda McCarthy?
I do not know that. No, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay. Let's run through a couple of terms here. We've been focusing so heavily on Facebook. I want to make sure we get a bunch of other things in here, too. Terms like predictive analysis and HTML5 and location services we've mentioned a little bit so far. Tell us about predictive analysis, first of all. This is when they're going to make some guesses about your future behavior based on what you've indicated you like in the past.
Yes, it is. And it's not just some guesses. With the information that they have, they are extremely accurate. And, you know, there are ways to kind of turn off a little bit of this, but a lot of it's for ad tracking. And again, you know, they can piece a lot of these predictive analysis companies and engines, you know, Google Analytics, the things that all the social media sites can piece together, but they tell you they're doing it. They know you sometimes more than you know you.
Really? And this is where Amazon, of course, comes up with the idea that potentially it could be shipping things to you before you know you even want them.
It's highly possible. I mean, we've all had instances, I'm sure, where, you know, we're doing searches for something, and then, you know, we log into maybe our Amazon account, and what we were searching for, exactly what we wanted, is right there. And, you know, this works by cookies, and there's some other things kind of going on behind the scenes. I kind of explain that in my book. But it is very good at what it does.
Now, what about HTML5? I mean, this indicates an update in the language itself, the hypertext markup language. How does HTML5 differ from previous versions and what it does with your stuff?
So one of the things that this does is it allows a location to be gleaned from you surfing from your laptop or from your computer. People can much more easily understand, well, if I'm on my cell phone, you know, I understand these location services. People can pinpoint my location that way. But this allows that to happen, you know, from your laptop, too.
The location services on phones, is that if you turn your GPS stuff off, for example, is that still going to find you through location services, just through cell towers or something? How does that work?
Well, the 911, the emergency ability to find you, will always be active. You cannot turn that off. And there's different things you can turn your location services off for. You know, one of the things I recommend, there's something called EXIF data, and this is when you take a photograph, and if you post it to some social media sites, it's metadata that's contained in that photograph, and it's very easy for anyone using freely available tools to pick out that EXIF data. And one of the things the EXIF data will tell is the exact geo-coordinates of where that photograph was taken. So one of the things I recommend, you know, if you're going to be posting photographs on social media sites that do not strip this EXIF data, you know, or even ones that do, because they may not in the future, they also keep that EXIF data so that they know this. You know, you don't necessarily want to post photographs of your daughter in her onesie in her bedroom with this EXIF data turned on, because then it's possible that someone could download that photograph and have the exact geo-coordinates of where that bedroom is. Same thing, you know, with your daughter at school. You just want to be very careful about the things that you're doing.
So is EXIF data something you can scrub or turn off?
You can turn it off, yes. Right. And you can turn it off on the phone. It goes along with the camera. All modern cameras have this turned on by default.
And so where, I mean, you just have to look in the camera settings or in the settings on the phone itself?
You would go into the location services on the iPhone, and you would be able to turn it off there under privacy. And with the Android, you would go to the camera, and then that's where you would turn it off. I actually, on my website, tylercohenwood.com, I have a video blog where I show you exactly how to do it for both devices. I step you through it step by step.
Okay, I'll make sure we provide some links to that video blog on Facebook. See, you can't get away from it, can you?
Yeah, I noticed you guys don't have a Twitter account.
We do, actually. It's at Jeff Exchange. It basically feeds straight through from the Facebook page.
Okay.
So it's the same stuff. Where was I? Oh, cookies. Cookies, obviously, the places where a lot of stuff's going to get collected as you just simply browse. And I wonder if a person like you, who's well-versed and savvy in what goes on in cyber functioning, do you actually keep the cookies turned off?
I don't, because it doesn't bother me. I actually want advertisements that tell me the things that they think that I want. But I do another video blog I have with this whole new thing that's come out where Facebook says that they're going to start tracking you outside of Facebook, the things that you view. I explain how they're doing that, you know, through the plugins. Like if you go to CNN.com, how does Facebook know that you've gone to CNN.com if you're not in Facebook and you're not on your cell phone where that application could be shared? So I explain that. But I also teach you how you can turn these cookies off. There's certain browsers that you can use that will clear your cookies, or you know, Chrome has the incognito browsing function, Firefox has the private browsing function, and you can actually make it so that you only have one cookie, you know, per session, so you can still use it, but then that cookie disappears. And what the cookie is this is what the sites use to remember you and kind of help collect information on you.
Which is kind of like, oh, hey, it's you again. You're back. We remember your stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, this is the stuff you like. Got it. So, yeah, so you can clear those after each session, too.
Yes.
The incognito and private browsing, it seems to me those can create some social situations within homes, though. It's like, why are you private browsing? Why can't I see what you did? Because it doesn't keep your history at all, right?
No, it doesn't.
All right. So you'll have to work that out with your significant
other.
What
you say is, you know, I don't want targeted advertising. I don't want social media companies, you know, coming to me. I mean, that's an excuse that you could use. I don't know.
you do recommend, though, Tyler, searching for yourself. Basically, Google yourself, look yourself up on Facebook, stuff like that. What are you going to find? What kinds of perceptions will you likely get trying to look at yourself in the third person versus the way you think you present yourself to the world?
Well, people a lot of times just will post, you know, the one post, and they don't think that people are putting together this pattern of life, this perception on them. So I want people to go and look at what they look like from an outsider's perspective. You know, are they argumentative? Are they a one-upper? Do they just give way too many mundane details? You know, what kind of person do you appear to be based on this perception? You know, the person we had talked about at the beginning of this conversation, the friend I had, you know, if he were to look at his persona, he probably would have been slightly horrified to see that he appeared to be a bully.
And there are several different posting styles you mentioned earlier in the session here. But do we tend to take on several of these posting styles?
You're always going to have some. You're going to fall into one of those posting styles, but you just don't want to be that type of person all the time. You don't want to always be arguing. You don't want to always be one-upping someone. And you know, occasionally you know, it's fine. You're going to get into an argument. But then again, you know, do you really want that argument to be on Facebook where all and your current, your future employers can actually see it?
You do recommend also using the same stuff that people can use on you to look up other people. I mean, what kinds of situations do you recommend that people begin to do some searches on other people? And what kinds of things should they be looking for?
Well, if it's someone who you're going to date, someone that you've, you know, met online, or, you know, maybe you're going to interview, you want to do a little bit of research on the hiring manager so you know some things that they're interested in so you can kind of build rapport. You want to do some research on the company that you're going to interview. So there's a lot of good reasons why you would want to learn to do this research on other people so that you kind of have an idea. You also want to learn to do it because if you go through in my book, maybe you're talking to someone, you don't know if this person is who they say they are, and you go through the Catching the Catfishers checklist and you think maybe they're not, you would use those same skills to kind of say, well, maybe you would do some recon on that person to see if they are who they say they are.
There is a lot of stuff in here to consider, a lot more information that we did not get to, but we'll have to let people know that the book is out there, Catching the Catfishers, Disarm the Online Pretenders, Predators, and Perpetrators Who Are Out to Ruin Your Life. Tyler Cohen-Wood wrote it. She's been our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Tyler, thank you.
Thank you so much.